morning, maybe a subject I call the mission. I kind of talked a little bit about it, but as I was just going through some of the things there in my office, just thinking about us as a family, I was looking at a statement, and the statement I was looking at talked about mission, and I realized that all of us have missions. Some of you go to the grocery store. Some of you just can't help when you see this sign that you stop and I think probably our best garage sale person is Elton Lowe. He knows if you ever go to a garage sale, you'll find Elton there looking for his things. Also, just so you know that there is one family in our church that will take their vehicle and a trailer and they'll drive to Georgia and they'll be part of a 100-mile garage sale. And that is not me. And so just so you know that. Also, I know some other young people. I know you guys, the next couple weeks, missions will be the World Series and get a chance to play baseball and do some traveling. So learning, watching, hearing about those things. I know some of you, the mission might be just to go to the beach and back. I don't know why anybody would go where there'd be sand and salt water, but some of you like those things. And so you enjoy those things and you go there. And also one of the things I was doing this week is I thought about the mission. I started to think about you guys, and I started to go through Facebook, and I thought I could pull up some really interesting pictures of some of you when you were just newly married or your wedding day. And I was having a lot of fun doing it, so then I decided, well, if you're going to do that with other people, you probably ought to go find one of your old pictures. So I'll start with us. This was us. We will be married 22 years, August the 4th. I always get it confused with my, don't clap. Do you know for sure it's the 4th? I always get it confused between my mom's birthday, which is either the 4th or the 6th, and my anniversary. My anniversary is the 6th. My mom's birthday is the 4th. So you clapped on the wrong date. So it's the 6th, August the 6th. Will be 22 years. That we were married. Any of you know this couple? Yeah, it's Ike and Sue Richards. And so I'll blow it up. Maybe you can see it a little bit better. And don't tell them I put them on the screen when you see them. They're not in here right now. I might change this second hour. You don't know. And so, the reason I put these pictures up here is I think about the mission. If you would have said to me 22 years ago, this is what your life will look like, I would have never believed that be true. See, I had a preconceived idea in my mind, this is what God had for my life. And so at that point, 22 years ago, Susan and I were planning to go to Africa and serve the Word of Life. And we planned to be one of those missionaries that was maybe a little bit different when it came to missionaries when it comes from an American perspective, because very few Americans go to a foreign country and actually become part of that culture. And we were in Africa a very short period of time, and I met this missionary, and he was from Tennessee. And so he invited us over to his house, and so we went over to his house, and he had all the Tennessee stuff up. He even had old orange carpet. I don't know if that's a Tennessee thing or not, but that guy had been in Africa for over 25 years, and he looked like he just left Tennessee 5 months ago. There was nothing to do with rugby, cricket. There's nothing to do with biltong. There's nothing to do with any of the South African things that would be typically known as a South African. There's nothing to do with that. So 22 years ago, I purposed in my soul to leave my stuff behind and become South African. I purposed in my soul to figure out what cricket was and how do you play that game. I purposed in my soul to find out what it was like to understand a rugby game. Because what was something very unique about South African culture is when South Africa played sport, it could be soccer, rugby, or cricket, everybody watched. So when you went to the bank, they had the cricket team on. And it'd be anybody in the church, you could start a conversation about, hey, what do you think of the cricket score? What do you think of this player? And you could start an instant conversation just around sport. Now as I think back of what God has done, I think about God's grace. That person in that picture is not the same person that's here this morning. This person in that picture, those two people are not the same people that are in that picture, that are here with us today. And so this morning as I think about that, I think about the mission. And I think about the words you just sang, he loves you. Oh, how does he love you? by demonstrating his actions for you. And sometimes when we sing these songs, I take out the word us. And I say, oh, how he loves me. And so this morning, we're going to talk about something that you've heard for your whole life if you've been around a church. But the question will be, will you adapt that mission to be part of your life? Oh, and there's a lot of different things, and the mission changes as far as day to day, certain things that I'll do today that I won't do tomorrow. But the overall purpose, the mission of who I am as a person, what does that look like? And so this morning, I ask you a question. What is your mission? What I know is true is that today you're one day closer to death than you were yesterday. That's true. So now as I say that statement, as I think about those words, there will be a time when it's all over. It's going to be said and done. And you'll have an opportunity to answer this question with your lifestyle. And the choices that you make today will dictate what your lifestyle is. And I also realize that there's a huge battle going on because the world says the mission is this. And you have to make a purpose in your heart and say, you know, that's not what it is. The other question that I asked myself this morning is, BFC, what is our mission? When I stand before the Lord, what will be the mission that he will say to me, hey, I'm going to hold you accountable for that Bible Fellowship Church family? How well did you do in promoting this mission? And so this morning, I would like to share with you the mission of BFC. The church is to evangelize the world to the Lord Jesus Christ by sending out those who will preach and teach the gospel. And what's interesting is, you know that. But the hard part is, it's a lot easier to talk about other things than the gospel. And we're really close in our society to be more excited about somebody putting in a well than talking about the gospel. We're more excited about, oh, let's go over here and build this. And I'm not against building things, okay? But my concern is that can be this, oh, well, it's just easier. Let's just do that. And we forgot the marching orders of the one who said that he loved us. And so part of what we are as a family and should be as a family is that every single one of us sitting in these seats should think about that statement. What am I doing as an individual sitting in this sanctuary amongst this family? What do I do when it comes to preaching and teaching the gospel? Because what we could say is, well, we have a missions budget. Oh, well, look at Bible Fellowship Church. There's kids in Korea. Doesn't mean anything. What matters is what we will do with the word gospel. What matters is, are we sitting here this morning saying, okay, Lord, give me something from your word so I can go out there and do something in our society, in our community? You know as well as I know that there are a lot of people in Highlands County. I know that a lot of people think this is a retirement area in the community, and there is a lot of retirement people in this community. But there's a big high school at Sebring High School. Somewhere around 1,600 students. So I ask you this morning, what is your purpose? What is your mission? Take your Bible and go with me to Acts chapter 13. We're going to jump around some this morning, so if you have your Bible, just be ready for that. We're not going to stay in one passage of Scripture. But I want you to see some things as you think about the early church. You think about the people that they sent out. So I want to share some things with you this morning. Acts chapter 13, pick it up in verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. It's interesting what Barnabas and Paul did. The two of them, sent out on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down, and you can have fun trying to figure out those big words, and sailed from Cyprus, where they arrived in Salamis. They proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So when they get to the place of worship, church, the synagogue, people had the Old Testament law. They could have talked about a lot of different things, but what did they talk about? The gospel. They were set apart because this group of believers identified these two after praying and fasting, say, these two, they're different. We're going to set them apart to go share the gospel. Okay, they could have went to the synagogue and taught Old Testament law. They could have went to the synagogue and talked about marriage. They could have went to the synagogue and talked about tithing. They could have went to the synagogue and talked about the authority of the Word of God, the Scriptures. They could have talked about a lot of different things that aren't bad things that are in the Bible. But God sent them there and they shared the gospel. That was their priority. That was their mission. That's what they had been set apart to do. Proclaim the Word of God. I just wonder if Bible Fellowship Church would say, identify the Pattersons per se. We're going to send them out. What will we send them out to do? All to love people, to be nice to people, care about people, make sure people had clothes, make sure people had food. Yeah, all those things are good. But would they identify us and say, you know what, we want to send them out, set them apart because they're interested in sharing the gospel. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. I know that we've kind of went over some of these verses, but I think it's just good for us to just to think about them again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, pick it up in verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So the reconciliation came through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we are making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So a couple words, and sorry, I thought that would look better on the, I'll change the background. Two words, reconciliation and ambassador. We've been given the responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation. So we sit in here this morning and we say, he loves us. We have an opportunity to take that love to somebody else. One of the things that I like to do is to watch when military servicemen or women come home and they surprise their children. That reconciliation. And so far, out of all the ones I've watched, there's always emotion involved. Because something that they weren't part of or didn't have is now standing there in front of them and they had no idea that they were coming. And so there's tears, there's excitement, there's joy, there's emotion because something has been brought back together again. A family. That's our privilege. It's our responsibility. That's our mission. To find someone out there so that they can be reconciled through the cross to a Father that will always love them. so that they could be with us in this building, knowing a song that you and I probably take for granted, that he loved us. Knowing that when nothing goes right in their world, that God still loves them. But are we reconciling those people? And I'm not saying it's our responsibility, okay? I'm just saying, are we thinking about it? You and I can't make anyone come to church. It's always interesting to me who does come to church. God, you brought them. Why did Jesus bring you today to remind you of your mission? Because it's really easy for us just to sit in our seats and say, well, yeah, we sent those kids to Korea. That's what we should be doing. Those kids in Korea are going to be influenced by Jesus. Hopefully, when they come back, they'll influence our community. It's going to do more good, in my opinion, for our students than it will do for the Korean students. In little ways, I was listening to my son. There's a video on Facebook, and they're playing water polo in the ocean with a watermelon. I've never done that. I find it very interesting. And so I'm talking to him about it, just, you know, the game. And so he said something to me. He said, they picked me to jump to get the watermelon. And then he said, I got the watermelon. But then he said this, which is interesting for a 16-year-old. Well, it really wasn't about me getting the watermelon, Dad. Really? You mean you're thinking about something other than yourself at 16? And this is how I'm thinking as a dad. I get excited when this stuff happens. You're learning this thing. Because the natural tendency, not only for the 16-year-old, but for us to sit in this building, is for us to take the recognition, for us to take the credit. And so for a 16-year-old over a game of watermelon water polo, to learn that lesson or begin to learn that lesson. Life's not about me. Life's not about winning. It's interesting. And so this morning sitting here, it's very important for you to learn those same lessons. It's very important for you to come back in the midst of all the things that goes on around you, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors that aggravate you. Anybody have neighbors that aggravate you? All those things that can be distractions, to come back and say, what's the mission? The mission is reconciliation. The mission is to remind yourself this morning that somebody loved you and wanted you to have hope this morning. And so he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And now that you are, and I think of a lot of different job ministries, position titles, different things. But one of the things I love about this verse is verse 20. And I'll make it personal. I am, therefore, Christ's ambassador. That's who I am. I'm not a staff member of Bible Fellowship Church. I'm not Rachel's dad or Seth's dad. I'm not Susan's. Somebody called me Susan's dad the other day. I don't know. It did make me feel old. I am Christ's ambassador. That's who I am. And there's a war going on, not only in my soul, but in your soul, to remind you that's who you really are. That's what you should be living for. I know you have jobs. I know you have position titles. I know you have gifts and abilities. I got all that. But underneath all of that core, more than who you are, should be the thought process, I am Christ's ambassador. I am the opportunity to be the reconciliation for that. Would Christ reflect through me? I think at times we say shine through us and then we could probably get the credit for it. But it really should just be Christ's reflection threw me to a world that, hey, there's something different. Jesus, shine through our Korean kids so that those Koreans see something different. Please, you do it. And what's interesting is, to us, in this group of believers, the mission, I know I have the statement there, to evangelize the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, by sending out those, should be sending out you, who will preach and teach the gospel. But people in our communities, in our societies, will only recognize that by that heart, by the word love. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 13. How will people identify as us as different? I'm pretty sure, out of all the years that I've been involved in ministry, if I would be holding up a sign saying, you're on your way to hell, nobody's going to come to me and say, hey, can I ask what's different about you? So it's not me calling out people's sin. It's me living differently. John chapter 13, look in verse 34. Jesus' words to his disciples. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How will people know that we are Jesus' disciples? By loving one another. And I think you need to circle the word if, because it's going to be your choice. Underline it, highlight it, you can do whatever you want to do. I can jump up and down and scream and go crazy, which I'm not going to do, but it's going to be your choice, really, if you're going to love one another. If you're going to be that individual that says, you have a need, and I'll set aside my wants and desires to fulfill that need. That's what love is. For me to be willing to say no to something that I want in order to be involved in something that someone else wants. Then the whole world will know that we belong to Jesus. That we are his disciples. So I ask you this morning, what's your mission? I ask you this morning, how well are you doing in your mission? I ask you this morning, not well, how well are you doing? Are you willing to come back to this and say, hey, there's some clear instructions for me in our family that we need to love one another. Also, something interesting I like, oops, I skipped one, is go to Ephesians chapter 4. Amongst our family, one of the characteristics, and it's a very difficult characteristic, but is the word unity. And as I was looking at Ephesians chapter 4, you can look at, pick it up in verse 1. This is Paul, as a prisoner for the Lord, when I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Paul says this to us, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Unity. What I've learned, unity is a choice. Try to have an argument with your spouse when your spouse doesn't want to get involved in the argument. How long does the argument go? Not very long. And so this morning, as you're sitting here, I ask you this question. Are you completely humble? Are you gentle? Are you patient? Are we willing to bear with one another in love? Put up with other people's differences than us. Well, they might want to do it this way. Okay, well, let them do it that way. That's fine. Well, they want to put it over there. Well, let them put it over there. Well, I don't like it. Really? Does it really matter what I like? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's going to take effort. So as this group that's outside of us, however many thousands there are this morning that are not in church, do they see unity amongst us? Or do they see this group, as we go out there, that we like to gossip? Well, did you see where so-and-so sat today? I can't believe so-and-so sat in my seat. Did you see how fast so-and-so was driving down the road? I can't believe they were driving that fast down the road. Did you see where so-and-so was shopping? I can't believe they went shopping. Did you see where they were sitting? I can't believe so-and-so was sitting over there. Isn't it amazing how we can talk bad about each other behind each other's back? When one of the calls to us is unity, one of the calls to us is to be different, we should expect those people out there to devour each other. But when we should come in here, there should be a sense that, hey, we're all on the same team. You're my brother and you're my sister. I just get the privilege to share truth with you. That's all I am. Really who I am. I'm your brother and your sister. The world's identified me as a pastor. What does that really mean? Not a lot different than you. I've got the same qualifications for my life that you do. It's just there's a group of men that said, hey, we want you to share that book with us on Sunday morning. Okay. So brothers and sisters, I encourage your unity. The second thing that's part of our mission as a church, the church is to edify itself through the ministry of the saints by teaching of doctrine, fellowship, communion, prayer, and the ministry of the spiritual gifts. So what does that mean? Well, in that sentence, you have the word doctrine. Us as staff, we call that swallowship, where you put fellowship there. We call that swallowship because we love to eat food. So we like this fellowship around food. Communion, which is going to happen August, the first Sunday in August. August the 7th, we'll have communion here as a family. Prayer, which is something that's interesting. Prayer is us saying that we need help. Anybody in this room need help? But you know what's interesting? You don't like to ask for help. And I was just thinking about that. I was in a situation where I have this lawnmower and I'm trying to get it on my trailer and the belt broke. The drive belt broke. And this lawnmower, you got to find just the right spot to push this button in and then it'll release the hydrostatic part of this lawnmower. So I'm looking all over. I've got the lawnmower halfway up the ramp, so I'm kind of holding it with my leg and I'm trying to look around. And I can't find this thing. I can't find it anywhere. I have an idea where it is, but I can't find it. So I just said, Lord, would you show me where the hydrostatic button is so I can push this lawnmower on the trailer? So then as soon as I said, Lord, help, he showed me this little button. So I moved this thing over. And I said, Lord, there's no way I'm going to push this lawnmower up the rest of the way of this ramp. So would you help me? But I stood there for probably 3 or 4 minutes looking at the back of that lawnmower because I didn't want to ask for help. I can figure this thing out. I can do this. So just be honest. Prayer is you stopping and say, Father, I need help today. And what we normally, all of us want to do is to take care of it ourselves. It's your sin nature. You can thank Adam and Eve. So part of us, we want you to gather with us in a group at the source Wednesday nights and gather around and say, Father, we need your help. There's people out there that don't know you. Would you help us reach them? You know what's really interesting that I'm learning? You can see how popular a staff member is by who shows up on Sundays. You can see how popular Jesus is when you spend time praying. Now that's scary to me. Because we might have, say, 300 people, 350 people show up here on a Sunday morning or more in the winter. The number doesn't, I don't really pay attention to the number. But you know what I pay attention to? How popular Jesus is in our family. And I'm not sure he's that popular. I think we use him when we need him. And so part of what we want to do as a staff and a family is for you to come together and say, Father, help us today. We surrender. We need you. We're asking you for help today. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to see there in verse, pick it up in verse 7. Paul's words to us, but to each of us, grace has been given as Christ appropriated it. And this is what he said. And I want you to go over and pick it up in verse 13. Until we reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every word of teaching, every wind of teaching, and by cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking together with truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, into him who is the head, that is Christ. To go back, look at 14. Then we will no longer be infants. How can we no longer be infants? When we grow up. When we start taking captive the lies of the world. When we start thinking about what does maturity, spiritual maturity, look like? There, see, it's a war. Look through those verses. It's a war of deception. And so if we don't mature, then we're going to be tossed around like an infant. And I have this picture in my mind when my kids were little, and if I was around my dad, we would just kind of throw the kids back and forth in the water. We're just having fun. They want to go throw them up, and then they go in the water, and then you throw them up again. They're tossed wherever you go. Now if I take my 16-year-old son, I'm not going to toss him anywhere. Because he's grown up. So physically, he's bigger. So I can't toss him around. But that doesn't mean he's spiritually mature. And that doesn't mean you sitting in here with gray hair doesn't mean you're not being tossed around. It's a choice for us as we come back to this book and say, Lord, I want to be mature. Well, maturity means that you can identify the deceitful things of this world. That will not bring me joy. That will not make me happy. That will not fit my needs. That doesn't need to be part of my life. Identifying the lies of the world means that you've grown up. I don't think I could throw anyone around in this room because you're physically, I can't do it. But I'm just wondering how Satan's throwing you around by the lies of the world. What will Satan use tomorrow morning as a lie to try to distract you or destroy you? It's coming. Someone that is mature can take the word of God and apply it to life situations. And those situations could be anger, pride, selfishness, control, manipulation. taking the word of God and saying, Father, I need you to remove this anger out of my soul. Father, I don't want life to be about me anymore. So, Father, would you move the pride out of my life? And the other part of this statement that I share with you as our second part is the spiritual gifts. I think a lot of you, as you think about our time together over the years, you know, it's nothing new for you to be reminded about teaching of doctrine. And basically, the last 2 weeks, I've basically just taken stuff straight out of our doctrinal statement and brought it to you. And so as I think about doctrine, I think about fellowship, I think about communion, I think about prayer, and the last thing that I want to share with you this morning under this one is your spiritual gifts. And I know if you take your Bible, you'll go to the book of Romans, and you know Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It's interesting to me that most of us don't link the spiritual gifts to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Most of us know that God wants us to no longer to conform to the patterns of this world, and we know how we can do that by renewing our mind through the Word of God. Why is that so important? Because He's given you a spiritual gift, and our family needs your spiritual gift. And so if you're not living as a sacrifice, you're not thinking about how you can serve our family. If you're buying into the lies of the world, you forget about the brothers and sisters that are sitting in your section. And those are the ones that need you. Because those people that are around us, your gift helps us grow. So use your gift. And as I look at Romans chapter 12, in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that was given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it the proportion of his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouragement, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him give and govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. So what's your gift? Gift's not a talent. A gift is something that's been given to you by God through the Holy Spirit to use amongst our family. So I say to you, use your gift because we need you. And stop trying to be somebody else. Just be yourself. Just be you. If God's called you to serve and given you the heart to serve, then serve. If God's given you the mind to teach, then teach. If God's given you the resources to bless others, bless others. God's given you the mercy, then be merciful. I know what the mission was 22 years ago. I recognize that the mission has changed over the years. And I recognize as this goes along, those people that are on the screen won't be the same, Lord willing, today that they'll be in 20 years. Oh, I won't be able to run as fast. I won't be able to jump as high. I pretty much got gray hair anyway. That's why I keep it short. I won't be able to do the things that I used to do when I was 25. But you know what? Inside, I want my heart to be more like Jesus than it is today. And I want my life to be characterized by the things that really matter. And so as I've spent time thinking about this, I leave you with one verse that you all know it well. Most of us would call that the Great Commission. That God's given you the responsibility, the opportunity, the privilege, however you want to look at it, to go into all the world to make disciples. And what I love about Bible Fellowship Church is not just about the evangelism. We know that we've been called to go around the world and share the gospel. We understand that. We're excited about that. That's why we're involved in missions. We're excited about what God's going to do in the ministries that God has called us to be part of and that we support financially. But as I think about us as a family, it's not just good enough for us to share the gospel. It's about making disciples. And so if you look at those two statements that we've put together, evangelism is part of it, and discipleship is the other part. Doctrine, fellowship, communion, prayer, spiritual gifts. I guess a word picture for me is my opportunity is to be a lifeline to the community in twofold. Evangelism. God put me in the community so that I can meet people and that you can shine through me and those people say, what's different about this guy? And then I can say to them, what's different about me is I have a personal relationship with Jesus. He radically changed my life. But the other part of me is a discipleship thing. God, how can I get in a group where we're around a small group? Because it's pretty easy to hide in here. So one of my goals as far as a staff member of Bible Fellowship Church is to get you in a smaller group. And in that group, what we would call a small group, that it wouldn't be about your neighbor, about your great aunt. It would be you and the Word of God open, and you say yes to the Word of God. For you to surrender what is in front of you. So, Lord, if you define love this way, then that's the way I want to live my life. See, that's a win for me as a staff member. So if I purposed in my heart to live to be a lifeline to our community and to you, not just here, because I don't really think this is effective. I think what's really effective is when you're in a small group and you're talking to the Bible and you're talking to your friends about the Bible and it's open right in front of you. And it's almost like you're saying, God, I hear your voice. And I've got some friends around me that will encourage me and support. So this morning I end our service, and I don't know if you've ever been part of a commissioning service, but I'm encouraging you to go out and make a difference in our society. And I realize there are a lot of things that can be a distraction this morning. But in your distraction and in your burdens and in your hurts and in your things that consume you in life, I read you these words. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and He calls them by name. We read, great is our Lord, but I say to you, great is your Father. And mighty in power, His understanding has no limits, so run to Him. You are His ambassador. You are His choice to reach our society with His gospel. He chooses you. He doesn't have to choose us. He chose the church. He called us to make disciples. The Lord sustains the humble, but He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God in the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. And He makes grass grow on hills. He provides for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. He's waiting to hear your voice. So it's your choice this morning. Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you would like to sit and talk with one of us or pray with one of us, we have a What's Next ministry. Straight out the back of the sanctuary, second door on the left. We'd love to pray. Father, I know You're here. Holy Spirit, I know You're working. I don't know what it looks like. I know what it is in my soul, but I don't know what it is in the rest of my brothers and sisters. but you've had some opportunity to look at the book that we call the Bible, the Word of God. And the mission is pretty clear. The question will be, will you embrace the mission? Will you embrace the purpose? Will you embrace the goals? Will you embrace your Father's words to you? He set the mission. So, Father, as we have gathered, may we be sons and daughters that surrender to the mission. May we be sons and daughters that are willing to be a lifeline to our community. So people will say yes to you, Jesus. So people will be discipled in small groups so they can be mature. Father, help us. Help us in these two goals to make a difference. Make them the priority of our family, Father. Father, as the Korea team rests, help them sleep well. Wake them up refreshed tomorrow. Send them out as warriors for you. For Tom and Bonnie, encourage their hearts this morning. For Jim, direct the doctors this morning. For Nivalon, direct the doctors. Father, send us out to make a difference. In your name I pray.